Accession number 30,001, Mr. Peter Hurst, Real 12. Now, is there anything else while you were at Howard? And you were there a long time, weren't you? You know, right through into 1941.
Yes. Yes, I was there until, I think it was about April. I might get some idea from here.
Till when? No, not you.
I was there until early June.
Now, while you were there, you had an accident, didn't you?
Yes.
And this was a car accident.
Yes.
I don't know whether it's sort of connected with the previous story in the fact of drinking, but I mean, what exactly happened?
Well, we'd been to a golf club. Three of us. There was a chap named Peter Brett, Paul Farns, and I came over in my car, took over. We went to a well-known golf course, Knutsford, I think it was, in Cheshire. And we, once again, had just a little bit too much to drink. And coming back, I had a sort of half head-on collision with another car coming in the opposite direction. It wasn't a full head-on, but it was enough to swing us over, and we rolled on our side. And on the roll over, I hit my head rather severely. And I didn't realise at the time, but about a few days later, you know, I had what they call delayed concussion. And so that upset my health state for quite a long while. And I had to go into hospital. I went and eventually finished up at an RAF recuperation centre at Torquay.
Was this, were you still technically still at Howarden, or had you left Howarden then?
Well, I'd left Howarden then.
So you left Howarden in June?
Yes.
When did you go to the RAF hospital? It's Babacombe, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, somewhere down there. It was, I was in the hospital from July, early July, through to almost the end of August. I was there for about 6 weeks.
That's a long time for yeah. Concussion. I mean, what were the symptoms you were getting there? I mean, we have in blackouts or dizzy spells or something beyond normal concussion.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It was, they called it delayed concussion. This is what the medical people called it. I don't know what exactly.
But were you having frequent blackouts or dizzy spells?
And headaches. But while I was there in the summer months at Torquay at that hospital, which was a very nice, beautifully located, and it was very restful. So, you know, I didn't have any drink, any alcoholic drink when I was there.
Who was in there? I mean, what was the state of it?
Oh, the chaps had all sorts of different medical problems. One or two, the chaps were, some of the chaps had been very badly burnt and had dreadful injuries and facial injuries in the main.
Have they had these early plastic surgery?
And they were some of the original guinea pig boys. You know, you've heard of the guinea pigs.
By McEndoe. Wow.
Yes, that's right.
What state were they in to look at?
Oh, ghastly. Some of them.
Even after the plastic surgery?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, I felt very sorry for them. You know, they really looked... some were worse than others, but they were severely burnt. All burns.
And What about, were you allowed out into Babbacombe or Torquay? I think Torquay's the nearest spot.
Yeah.
Or were you not drinking there when you went out? Or was it just not drinking?
I wasn't really. No, but they used to run coaches and take us on trips. And they did allow us out on a Saturday night into Torquay, and they had a bus laid on to bring us back.
And what would you do in Torquay?
Well, we used to go to the big hotel there. I forgot the name of it.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway, we went there because they had a very good dance orchestra there. And it was rather enjoyable to listen to the music. See one or two girls dancing around.
Now, so you're there about a month.
Yes.
July to August.
Yes, yes.
Now, what was your next posting?
Where did I go after that?
Seems to go to Tangmere Wing, but which squadron?
Oh, I was only there for about 2 or 3 weeks. Tangmere. Yes, I went there. I was there for a month.
Well, did it have a number, the Tangmere Wing? You know.
No. It wasn't. I wasn't flying. No. It was. I was attached to the station headquarters at Tangmere. It was a non-flying. I was just helping out here and there. And
what was the setup at Tangmere? Cause that was where the Tangmere was of 1456 10 616 couldn't according to this.
Yes.
Now, what was happening there? You went there in August, did you?
Yes. Yeah. The other squadrons were all Spitfire squadrons, and let's see, 616 and 616 were at West Ham, isn't it? 1455 was at Merston. So, and of course, Douglas Bader had the wing then.
Did you meet him?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What did you think of him?
Well, he was all right, but he was that much older than us. We were all, most of us, anyway, were in our sort of 20, 21 years of age sort of thing. And he was about 29. So it was an old man, as far as we were concerned.
So you didn't mix with him?
No.
What was his reputation like? Was he popular in the wing?
Yes, reasonably popular, yes.
Was he he was still flying at the time?
He was.
He always flew, didn't he?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he was flying. Of course, he had, you know, one leg off just above the knee and the other one just below the knee. So he had two force legs, and remarkable, really.
Now, what was the nature of your administrative duties?
Oh, and nothing much. I was just helping out in the headquarters, for just to kill time, really. And then they decided to send me on a navigator.
Hang on, before we do that, there's an incident where you're shot at by the Welsh Guards, I think.
Oh, yes.
A bit of friendly fire.
Yes. Yes.
Tell me that story, because that seems...
I was with Johnny Johnson, and I'm just trying to think, what car was it? No, it was a car driven... It was a Padres car. There was a chap named Billy Vischt. He was of Swiss extraction. Well, he was in the RAF, and he was a Catholic, and he was very friendly with the Catholic Padre. And he borrowed the Padre's car and said, I'm going to do a trip into Brighton. You might as well, you know, make use of the spare seats. Do you want to come along? So I said, yes. So there was a chap named Johnny Johnson, and another chap named Heppel. He was always in a nip, Heppel. And we went and had a few drinks and had quite an enjoyable evening. and we finished up. We went to the dance hall. I think it was called the Victoria Ballroom, I'm not sure. Anyway, we met two or three very nice girls, and they invited us back to their flat. And we didn't have much more to drink. We had some coffees and things, and chatting away there. And about midnight, decided it was about time we made a move home. And old Billy Vist was driving, and it was a blackout. And somehow or other, about halfway between Brighton and Tangmere, he took the wrong road because no signposts. All signposts were taken down. And the next thing we knew was a lot of shouting. I thought, Christ, what the bloody hell's going on? And old Billy Visht had driven through. There was supposed to have been a barrier there. There was no barrier there, but there was chaps, they were, I think, the Welsh Guards, I'm not sure, in a hut, and they were supposed to be doing patrol duty. And after we must have disturbed them, and after we'd gone through, they came out and said, stop, stop, because we couldn't hear them. So they started opening fire. And I don't know how many bullets they fired, but I know that one of them, it was Johnny Johnson and Nip Heppel in the back. I was sitting in the front seat, and we'd fallen asleep, a little bit tired. I'd fallen asleep against my window this way. The two in the back, Johnny Johnson, they'd fallen asleep against their respective windows. And one bullet, you know, has a square rear window. It went underneath this window. We didn't see this until the next day in daylight. But it went in between their shoulders, and in between old Billy Vish and my shoulders, went through the dashboard and into the header tank, the coolant. But we didn't know. All we knew was we carried on. We didn't even know we'd been hit. Carried on, and the car boiled over. Thought, good God. So we had a look and found that the header tank hadn't got any fuel in it. So we knocked on a house, said, would you mind, is it possible for let's have some water for our radiator? So they said yes, and we topped up, got cracking again. We thought, oh, well, that's all right, we found the problem. There's no water, there must have been a leak. So we carried on, and about another 20 minutes or so later, the same thing happened again. Oh, that's funny. So we, by this time it was about 1:45 in the morning, and we thought, well, we've got to ask someone if we can get some water. So we knocked up another house. They were not very pleased to be disturbed at that time of the night. Anyway, they did let us have some water. And we managed to get back to Tangmere on that last one. When the next morning, went out and had a look at the car, and then saw this bullet had gone through and gone into the header tank and caused the damage there. So we realised that we were all a bit lucky. So these stupid Welshmen who'd fallen asleep in their sentry box had been a bit wild. And
now, how long were you at Tangmere? You've gone there in August. When did you finish?
I was only there for about a month.
So, to September. So, when did you go to the next one? You did a course at number 2 School of Air Navigation then?
That's right, yes. Yeah.
When was that?
That was in mid-September. 21st of September, I went to Greenwich.
So into October then, probably.
Yeah, no, I was there.
What was the nature of the course? Well, why were you going on the course first? It seemed a funny course for you to do.
Well, it was a shortened navigation course, mainly for people such as myself who were going continue instructing, but I mean, if a chap was being trained as a navigator in a bomber, he would do a more extensive course than this one I did, which was only about 5 or 6 weeks.
So what were you learning?
General things, about the compass and map reading and anything concerned with navigation of an aircraft.
So you did the theory? So the lectures on the ground first?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And
we did a bit of flying in Anson's.
How did you take to the theory? I mean,
I quite enjoyed it. I don't know how many trips I did in the Anson.
Now, what was it like flying in the Anson? Now, the Anson's much bigger than anything you're used to. It's the Avro Anson, isn't it? What were the flights like? You'd not be flying, would you?
No. We were in the back doing navigation. I didn't do many flights.
And were they sort of cross-country flights?
Yes.
What did you think of the Anson?
Oh, the Anson was really quite a good aircraft. Later on in years, I flew the Anson quite a bit. September...
41.
Yeah. Was it map reading? And we did a cross-country trip here. The whole base, Evesham, Wrexham base. We did another one. We were doing navigation in the aircraft, checking our positions, telling the pilot what course to steer and so on.
And you passed the course?
Sorry?
You passed the course?
Yes.
The next thing is you go, 1st of November it looks like, to number 58 operational training unit at Grangemouth from the 4th. Now, what do you remember about that?
Yes, September in the next. Well, it was. I was the navigation officer at this 58 OTU. So I was giving lectures to the chaps coming through, and of course, in those days, the courses had settled down to I can't remember how long they used to spend there, probably about a month. And I used to cover the navigation from the point of view of Spitfires and the special type of navigation that was necessary to know so that you could fly a Spitfire from A to B and find your way and do the necessary map reading that you had to do. So it was basic navigation, really.
And any stories or any problems with your navigational instruction?
No.
No,
it was all pretty straightforward.
And you also got to fly a bit again.
Yes, I did. I got to back and flew there. We are.
Anything much happening there? It sounds that. I mean, in the book, it's dealt with in just a few, 4 or 5 lines, and it's 6 months, which you're there from November to June, November 41 to June.
Yes. June. Well, it was just
anything happening during this time.
No, not really. I did fly the Spitfire. And I flew a Hurricane there, I see. I had to go from. I was taken up to, because I was one of the few chaps who'd flown Hurricanes, and I was taken up in a Domini aircraft to Peterhead. It was right up on the coast of Scotland. And I picked up a Hurricane there. Oh no, then we went on to Lossiemouth. That was, yes, an hour and 5 minutes from Grangemouth to Peterhead, and Peterhead to Lossiemouth in 45 minutes. So best part of 2 hours to get up there in this dominy. And then I had to bring the aircraft back. I landed at Dyce as a Hurricane on the same day, and then the next day brought the Hurricane to Grangemouth. Why they wanted the Hurricane, I don't know, because we hadn't got Hurricanes at Grangemouth.
Now, what was your state of health? Were you having any problems at all?
No, generally, I was, by this time, which was quite a long time after.
Well, 6 months, I mean, you know.
We're now the end of 1941. So it was quite a long time after. So I was okay, because I was, I flew a battle on Domini. Master battle. I had a Domini there, and I used to take these chaps up in this Domini, five at a time, giving them navigation, airborne navigation. And I've got here local navigation. And I used to take five or six passengers, depending.
What was the social life up there?
It was quite good, quite good. We were on the airfield then. Our mess was the old had been the air traffic control centre. They converted it into an officer's mess.
Comfortable?
Yes, it was not bad at all.
Then where would you go on your evenings off?
The only place worth going to was Edinburgh, and we could only get there at weekends because during the week it took too long, we were away too long, so working days. It was too far away.
So what would you do in Edinburgh? Where would you go?
We used to go to a place where they used to sell very good shellfish. Can't remember the name of the place. We used to start there and have some oysters and have a drop of Guinness, I think we used to drink to go with it. Anyway, it was quite nice. And then we'd go on and we found perhaps the odd pub somewhere. We didn't go mad or anything like that. We used to enjoy the evening and then drive back again.
Now, how did you feel about the prospect of returning to active service? You'd had a good long rest, but
yes.
How did you feel about it? Because something, not everyone looks forward to it.
Yes. No. I thought that it was about time I went back to. I'm just trying to think. Where did I go? Oh, I know. They formed a new squadron, a Lucent. So I was at Grangemouth from November until June, early June, end of May. And then a new Spitfire squadron was formed. And I was sent there as a flight commander. And it was at Euston, just at the back of Newcastle.
Now, what was the process of forming the squadron? I mean, who arrives first? Is it you and the squadron commander?
Yeah, the squadron commander and two flight commanders. And the other flight commander was also a chap from Grangemouth with me, named Butch Lyons. And he and I were the two flight commanders.
And how do you go about forming a squadron? I mean, obviously you don't choose pilots, but I mean, what happens?
We first of all got some aircraft in, and settled into the officer's mess at Euston, and then they gradually posted pilots into us, ones and twos, and as they came in, we allocated them to either A flight or B flight, and then we started, because they would have been to OTUs, so they would have done the formation flying and things like that, and then we would just make sure that they were able to do all these things. And
now, what about the aircraft you were flying? Because it's a new one, is it? It's not the Spitfire 1 by now.
Yes, what?
It says 5B.
What's it? Was it 40?
42.
42.
June, July. What was the 5B like?
It was a much improved aircraft on the earlier Spitfires that I'd been flying.
In what way, though?
It had a slightly more powerful engine, and I don't know whether they improved the controls at all in any way. I can't remember the full difference between. I think mainly engine power was the major difference. It was a more powerful aircraft.
Same weaponry, same.
Oh, yes. Although, no, I think they went to two cannons and four machine guns, instead of eight machine guns.
Was that better?
Oh, yes. If you had 20mm cannon, one each side, the more powerful armament.
Now, what sort of flying practice would you give the new club? I mean, what was.
Well, just looking here, mainly formation, practice interceptions, and formation, and mainly formation flying, making sure the chaps, and then we.
Were you happy with the standard that of most of the pilots you got?
Yes, yes, oh yes.
Now, who were the other key figures? Who was your squadron commander?
A squadron commander was a chap named Alan Johnson. And he was on the same course as me at Grantham at Flying Training School.
Now, what so was he like?
I knew him. I don't think he was a very good squadron commander at all.
Now, why not? Because that's one of the first you've had, not a bad word, but, you know, what made him not quite such a good squadron commander?
He was, although he was about the same age as me, a little bit younger, not much younger, his character was younger than his age, I think, if you look and put it that way. He was all right, but...
You mean he was immature?
Yes.
And how did it show itself? What kind of thing?
When it came to things like dealing with the pilots in various ways, he didn't seem to have quite the maturity to cope with and Butch Lyons and myself often had to do the sort of things that he should have done.
So he didn't keep discipline?
No, he didn't do that, and also he hadn't had much operational experience either from the flying point of view.
Was he a good pilot himself?
Best if I can remember now.
What about his tactics in the air?
Oh, he wasn't too well versed in tactical flying, because his own flying experience had been somewhat limited.